Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
But for baseball players themselves, doing this is going to be very unusual. And to talk about that, we wanted to bring in a man that has his program here on The Fan as well, and a local legend with the Colorado Rockies, Jerry Schemmel. And Jerry, if all of these medical testing priorities all work out, if the players can do it, how does it affect guys? Because we know in baseball, you're really living with these guys for months at a time. You go to dinner together. You go out. You end up being as close as you can possibly be. If that's not possible this season, does that throw any guys off, or is this just no big deal?
Oh, I think it does. I think it depends on the player, Sean. It depends on the individual, and I think it depends on the attitude of that individual. If there's a baseball player who says, you know what, and I think Charlie Blackmon of the Rockies would be a great example of that. Charlie just wants to play. I talked to him the other day. He said, I'm just so anxious to get back in the field. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll follow any protocol I'm supposed to. Get guys like that who are willing to be different from their protocols and the way they existed as a baseball player their whole lives, then I think it's going to work okay. But for other guys who might not like that, and there are plenty of those out there, I'm sure, I think it's going to be difficult. So I think it depends on the player. But I think, though, Sean, once it gets into place, guys will get used to it. It's like anything else. It's something new. You get used to it. You do it over and over. You kind of work at trial and error, and you try to perfect it, and you move on. I think that's what you're going to find if baseball does come back this year.
And for the players, obviously, you're talking about a lot of money, and I think everybody wants a season to go off. There's no advantage for anybody not to have a season go off. Baseball's yep. talking about maybe losing $640,000 a game. I don't know how accurate those numbers are. Obviously, that's the one that the owners would like everyone to have, but they're obviously being somewhat protective of their own numbers. But regardless, I would imagine that's a larger number if you don't have it at all, because at least you're getting television revenue, and most of the money in baseball's national television revenue, as you well know, is tied up in the postseason. You could right. still have a postseason. So it feels to me like even though there's acrimony, even though there's challenges between the owners and the players that has been starting to bubble up under the surface for the last 3 to 4 years, it seems like there's a way this has to get done if they can agree that it can be healthy, right?
I agree with you. I really do. And I think it'll come to that. I really do think we're going to have baseball in some form this season. And I think it's going to come down to everybody's talking about money right now. And that is obviously it's a major issue. You've got to agree on the money to move forward. But I think as well, baseball, and I think the players will start to get this now. And I know Charlie Blackmon and some others of the Rockies have got that already. Hey, I want to play. But America needs this. They need baseball. It's been a really, really tough 3 or 4 months for everybody. Everybody's affected by it. Now, for some people, it's life and death. But for most people, it's inconvenience, to be honest with you. And it's financial loss for a lot of people. I get that. But Charlie makes a good point. Like, you know what? We need this as players. Well, America needs this as fans. And so I think it'd come down more of a motivating factor for players that, you know what, this is exactly what we need at this time in our history. So let's make this thing happen.
So what would you think about, and let's get positive. Let's not get into the ideas of, how they could be complicated. Let's say they get it going. Here's something that I've been kind of kicking around. Obviously, baseball prides itself on having its best teams make the playoffs and make the postseason and make the World Series, because their very long 162-game season basically means that with that large sample size, it's a pretty good bet that the best teams are going to be there at the end. The shorter the sample size, I mean, we've seen the Rockies make pre-All-Star game runs and certainly make them seem post-All-Star game runs. The smaller the sample size, even as many as 82 games, still bigger than an NHL or NBA season, for a team like the Rockies that is on the outside looking in right now, this actually, from a baseball standpoint, could be a benefit to them, couldn't it?
I agree with you. It certainly has that capability. The more games you play, you're more going to separate yourself from the good teams, the bad teams, and the teams that remain are in the middle. But the fewer games you play, you have that tendency to bunch up a little bit more. I mean, I think about it because I played college baseball and coached on the college level. I think about college baseball. They play a 50-game regular season, and they're pretty much the same teams at the end in the College World Series every year, the powerhouses, the Los Angeles Dodgers types in college baseball are going to be at the World Series. There's going to be some exceptions every year, and that makes for a great story. But you know, that's a 50-game regular season, and it seems to work. So if you play 82 games, I think you have a pretty good idea who the teams are, and the teams are going to make the postseason are going to be the best teams.
I suspect that's the case, too. And it's funny because sometimes you can find some things out in seasons that get truncated. When the NBA, and obviously you've worked in that arena as well, had that shortened season where it was 66 games, that ended up being one of the more interesting and exciting seasons, even though, you know, you're only talking about a handful of games fewer. But it was fascinating to see these teams because you're right. There wasn't necessarily enough time for them to start separating themselves out. And it meant that almost every game in a 66-game season was a lot more important. You might not hear those people. Obviously, we won't talk about it when it's April, but those folks that say, well, you know, it's early. Don't worry about it. In an 82-game season in baseball, there is no it's early. All of these matter, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's healthy. I mean, I think that's a good thing because people pay more attention. Maybe players will play harder. Maybe your managing style is a little bit different. Maybe you make different moves because one game is so much more important than it used to be. Theoretically, it's twice as important if you're playing 82 games. So, yeah, I think it's vital, and I think it's probably healthy as well. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Like you said, it's like an NHL or an NBA season. 82 games, boy, they really matter. You can't let games get away. You might manage different, and I think the fans would really enjoy it because it's different.
Well, speaking of the wrinkles, one of them, and maybe the biggest one when we get to the on-field stuff as opposed to when baseball starts in the first place, is the idea that it's going to be the DH everywhere because you're going to play a lot of interleague. It's going to be very different. How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm okay with the designated hitter being in each league and for every team to use one every game. For a while, Sean, I wasn't. And you know what's interesting? I grew up a big Kansas City Royals fan, lived in Kansas for many years, and I thought, wow, the DH is just great. I can't believe the National League doesn't do this. Then I started doing games, Rockies games 10 years ago in the National League. I'm thinking, well, you know, pitchers hitting is really cool. I can't believe the American League doesn't do this all the time. So I was like, I was all gung-ho for one, and then I was gung-ho for the other. So I think when you're around it, it's going to be fine. And I think fans will enjoy it too. Hey, but another extra hitter in that Rockies lineup at Coors Field makes things really interesting. Although they have some pretty good hitting pitchers, to have an extra bat, real bat in that lineup, I think at Coors Field especially might be a big advantage for the Rockies.
Yeah, I keep thinking of the ideas you think of when they had Michael Kadire, Justin Morneau. They were grabbing some guys that were in their 30s, trying to maybe look for one last contract, and had really good years in Coors Field. All of a sudden, if you could have a DH in Coors Field, it seems like a lot of those guys in that position would be looking at Colorado as a place to get their market value back. So, oddly, it's one of those situations that, whether you like it or not, in truth, it probably benefits the Rockies more than it would most teams.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it plays in the ballpark because you got the extra offensive advantage here and get that extra big bat in the lineup. And, you know, you get a guy that doesn't have to be the DH every single day but can play first base a couple times a week and come off the bench if he's not going to. And usually that designated hitter type is that great power hitter who has a chance to win a game late coming off the bench. So, yeah, I think it plays into the Rockies' hands. I know Bud Black is actually, even though he managed his whole career without the DH, is excited to have the DH now. So I think it's a good thing for everybody. I know they're purists and they're traditionalists that they just say, no, that's not the way the game was meant to be played. I think for most part, and most people will enjoy it when it hits the National League.
I'm kind of with you. I've been batting it around actually for years myself and realizing that the amount of times you're going to get a double switch as opposed to just a pinch hitter, why not just have a guy hit that it's more entertaining for the fans? And in the end, the point of baseball is to be more entertaining. So I'm with you. I think that it's something that people will complain about. We heard about this about the walks, right? And after about 2 months, nobody cared anymore. You're like, hey, you know what? We didn't have to waste those 10 minutes a game on intentional walks. Yep. That works for me. Yeah. So I think that's probably something that'll work out. How important is it for someone who's been it for a while? And we talk about the changes from expansion to wild card to things like this with the intentional walk to DH. Baseball is a sport that evolves. People have kind of acted like it's new, but you're talking about lowering the mound after Bob Gibson. It's happened all the time. What is the reluctance to baseball evolving? Because the idea that it doesn't is clearly a myth. Rules have changed all the time throughout more than 100 years of baseball.
Exactly right. In interleague play, you could throw that mix as well. You know, I think the game has been around for so long, and it's in the hearts of so many, I think, older people a generation or two ago that, you know, kind of grew up with baseball that didn't really change a whole lot in their time. I think, you know what, this sport is different, and I like it because it doesn't change. I think that's the attitude some people have. But I really do think, Sean, today, no matter who you are, how old you are, what kind of fan you are, I don't think they're going to be real crazy about the game. I think they're not going to be concerned as the game is changing. They just want the game. They want the game back in some form. They don't really care how it looks right now with changes or no changes. Everybody's excited just having the game back.
Well, we're talking with Jerry Schemmel. That's jshemmel6 on Twitter. And if you haven't had a chance to, Jerry hosts a program on Sunday morning, 7:30 to 8:30 a.m., Amazing Americans with Jerry Schemmel. I've three episodes in. I had a chance to check out the one with Dave Dravecki, a story that I remember very well. It's terrific stuff. Could you tell people who haven't had a chance to hear it about Amazing Americans?
Yeah, it's a show I've really been blessed by doing, Sean. It's been a lot of fun, and I interview sports personalities, really all walks of sports, that have these incredible stories. So, I mean, Dave Dravecki lost his left arm, his pitching arm, for cancer, and broke his elbow, the humerus bone shattered during a game.
During a game,
and,
right?
Yeah, during a game in Montreal, and he talked all about that, and you know, his story is a powerful one. This Sunday, Sean Swarner, who's the first cancer survivor to climb Mount Everest, is going to be my guest. And how about this, Sean? He was told by doctors it was physiologically, had a lung taken out when he had cancer as a teenager. He's got one lung. He said, physiologically impossible for a man with one lung to scale Mount Everest. Impossible. And he did it. He did it with one lung. So those kinds of stories are what Amazing Americans is all about. But yeah, Sunday mornings at 7:30, and you can catch it obviously on the website too.
And I jog around the block and you'd think I was running a marathon, just covered in sweat and huffing and puffing. And this guy climbed Mount Everest with one lung. Oh, my goodness. Make sure you check it out.
Get you off the couch for sure.
No, yeah, that's true. Shame works in many, many, many exceptions, as it turns out. Make sure you check out Amazing Americans Sunday mornings, 7:30 to 8:30. And if you don't catch it then, that's fine, because you can go to 1043thefan.com or wherever you get podcasts on the Fan app, and you can download it there. All three of the episodes are right there for you to listen to at your convenience and on demand. So make sure you have a time to check it out. Jerry, thanks so much. It's always good to talk to you, and I'm even getting a little more excited now because I hope we could be 6 weeks away from actual baseball being played, and that would be something special, maybe more special than it usually is.
Yes, I agree with you. I couldn't say it better. You're right. Absolutely right.
Well, thank you very much. That is Jerry Schemmel. Make sure that you check out his show, Amazing Americans, with Jerry Schemmel Sunday mornings. I mentioned 7:30 to 8:30. You can follow him on Twitter also at jschemmel6. And it's good stuff. It really is. It's a really, it's a 40-minute listen. It's great. It's interesting. Make sure you check it out. And of course, you're talking about someone who has had experience in sports on a level that very few people have, in Jerry breaking it all down for you. So it's a really fun listen to, and make sure you check it out. So this is where we're getting. It could be within next 2 weeks, we could be talking about spring training. Yeah, it'll be summer training, but hey, at this point, that is nitpicking. I don't think we're going to worry about it. The NFL, if you were listening last week, has a proposal in which they were talking about a modification to the Rooney Rule, essentially, that incentivized teams by getting them draft picks for hiring minorities. Suffice it to say, I thought that was not decent, respectable, you name it. That's a terrible idea. They have updated it a little bit. We'll talk about what they're doing. If it's better than, it has to be better. It has to be better than what they were talking about last week. We'll break it down next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.